Welcome to the OC Bitches.
Welcome to the OC Bitches. I'm sorry, I'm still chewing. I'm eating breakfast as we record, so forgive the smacking or crunching. Or if there's stuff in my teeth. Hello.
You look like, it's nice to see you. It's been a couple weeks.
I know. It feels like a very long time.
Yeah, we had a little vacation.
We did.
It was nice.
How was your time off?
It was a staycation.
Oh, I saw you went surfing.
I did. And it's like, I grew up, I learned when I was 8 years old in Waikiki.
Oh,
and
wow.
And with an old timer on the beach, and did it again when I was 10. And then I would attempt it every summer when I was a teenager in the mm-hmm. in the OC. And then I got on the board again.
I
for
love
the first
it.
Time
How'd
in a
you
while.
Do?
I did well. They're baby waves because I don't like getting munched. I've been munched too many times in my
munched?
Life. Munched, I call it.
Is that surf term?
Munched in the waves. I don't know.
I could think of other things that mean munch. Anyway.
No.
Today.
Yes.
We are season 3, episode 7, The Anger Management. Today's guest is YouTuber and OC superfan. I hope you're a superfan. Dylan Matthews, a.k.a. Dylan Is In Trouble. Dylan grew up in Wisconsin and started out as a storytime YouTuber. He then started rewatching movies and TV shows, giving his genuine and hilarious reactions. His Twilight video rewatch has over 7 million views and counting. Dylan is a huge fan of the OC, having bought all the box sets, which he still watches to this day. We recommend you check out his YouTube page and, of course, his rewatch take on the OC pilot, which I watched, which is fucking hilarious.
I know.
Dylan Is In Trouble. His page is on YouTube. Welcome, Dylan. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me. It's weird that just having the DVDs in the background of a video and just like the dominoes that have led to this is kind of crazy. But yeah, that video is very old, so it's hard. I went back and watched it just so if there's any references in this video or in this podcast for it, then I'd catch it. And yeah, it's a very old video. It's hard to go back and watch your old stuff and not cringe a little bit.
Oh, well, we get that completely.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
A little bit of that. But
sometimes we pat ourselves on the back too. A little bit of pride. Uh-oh, 7 Deadly Sin.
I don't know. I'll go back and I'll laugh at my old videos though. So that is ego though. So yeah.
Well, okay. So what we're speaking about is that you have an episode where you watch the OC pilot and you comment on it, and you're quite funny. And you have a lot of, you put a lot of your humor in the editing as well. Do you do everything yourself?
Yeah, so for the past, what I'm best known for is just watching a movie or a TV show and just making a bunch of jokes and just having fun. I've been doing that for the past several years, and I do most of the editing myself. Recently, I'm trying to like build a little team to help me make more videos and everything, but yeah, no, it's a lot of work, but it's also just like a ton of fun. So
yeah, well, what got you into this? Like, were you just like, you know what? I'm pretty funny. I comment on things. Why don't I share it with the world?
Well, out of high school, I actually went to film school at a very real and legitimate school, and I got my degree in 16 months because it's a very real and legitimate school. And so then I moved out to Los Angeles, and I was there for about a year and 9 months. And then I was a production assistant on a number of different shows, movies, commercials, et cetera. And I don't know, I just didn't feel like the right path for me. And I talked to my mentor at the time, and I was like, I don't know, I'm thinking about moving back. What do you think? And he's like, no, you have to stay just 5 more years of being a production assistant and you'll move up. And I was like, 5 years? He was saying it like it was a good thing. And I was like, no. So then I moved back to Wisconsin, saved up a little bit of money, started YouTube, and that's where we are today.
Wow.
Well, by the way, everyone, the production assistant or PA is mm-hmm. probably the most difficult, thankless, mm-hmm. scapegoated position in the entire industry. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah. It's the lowest rung. It's if you were to disappear, no one would notice, pretty much.
Aw.
Well, I mean, but
not in a sad way.
Did you have to deal with any assholes that you can tell us about?
I mean, not really. I think everyone's is pretty friendly. It was good experiences, but just a lot of long days, hard days, and man, I'm just lazy, I guess. I like just recording myself and just making jokes and stuff. That's my life now, so.
Yeah, no, 18 hours, 20 hours of standing. A lot of times PAs aren't even allowed to sit down. But if you are interested in this industry, that is how one starts. You start as a PA and you figure out which department you want to go into. You make friends, you move up, and that's how you get respect. Just a little tip of the day.
Tip of the day. From old Munch Surfer here.
So
that sounded really bad.
Munch.
Woo. Okay. It is early.
Oh boy.
You're right.
It's not that well.
It's not. But it's
not a 5:30 a.m.
My
call.
Brain is not awake. So you were into the OC. Was it something you were into growing up, or like how did that happen? How old are you?
Yeah, so one thing I did mention in the rewatch of the pilot episode that I made a video about, for some reason I have so few memories from my childhood. I was dropped in my head a lot, so it explains a lot of things. But so one thing, I remember my mom specifically gathering my brother and myself into the living room. Because like this is so rare for her to do, but she's like, we have to watch this show. Because she had heard really good reviews for the show. It was like a re-airing of the pilot. So we sat down, we watched it together as a family for a little while. I was, I don't know, maybe like 11, 12 years old. So like a lot of it was going over my head. So it wasn't until later where I rewatched it and I fell in love with it. So yeah, it took me a while, but eventually, like around the time I was in college, I started rewatching, and then that's when I fell in love with it. And now it's a running joke, and I get a bunch of DMs from people. I guess people angry at me if they like finish season 3. They're like, "Why would you make me watch this?" So just because of what happens and everything, they get all invested, and sad things happen. But
yeah. You looked, well, do you mind me asking how old you are?
Yeah, well.
Well, if he was 11.
I have a new joke on my channel where I'm 20.
Okay.
Because I just turned 31.
Okay.
So now I tell everyone I'm 20.
You have a youthful face. I was going to say 11 seems like it was just a few years ago.
Yeah, so I'm only 20. We'll go with that.
Okay.
We'll go with, me too.
Yeah, I just had my 13th annual, no wait. Yeah. Oh, shoot. 23rd annual 30th, something like that, birthday.
Oh yeah, nice. I'm gonna adopt the same thing. I'm gonna be 20 forever.
Yeah.
Okay, so we heard that you're a massive Volchok fan, and I need explanation.
And why?
Well, first of
all, that's why we're talking to you for this episode, by the way.
Yeah, I specifically requested a Volchok episode. I'm just a massive Cam Dragonde fan. Like that guy just knows how to play a villain. So the movie I've seen more times than any other movie ever is Never Back Down. It's just all adrenaline, fighting, and Cam Dragonde is just, oh, you're missing out.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just a fighting
does
movie.
Does Cam play villains mostly, do you think?
Well, he did Twilight, so he's a villain there.
Was he a villain in Twilight? I can't remember. Yeah. I know I saw it.
Yeah. So he's the main villain of the first one. But yeah, it's... I don't know. I think part of it too is like growing up skinny. Like I think he was the first time I saw a physique and I was like, I can attain that. So then I kind of put him on a pedestal. So anything he's in, I always joke about. And
skinny ripped. Surf skinny ripped. That's my my type.
Surf skinny ripped. And that is a type.
I know.
And with tattoos and everything like that. Yeah. He was just the man to
you
me.
You were feeling it.
Yeah. That's
he's easy on the eyes. I get it.
I think it's... I think hot, just, yeah, that's it.
Oh, do you want to kidnap me? Okay.
Sure. Yeah, he's a villain, but Marissa's like, Marissa's she's like, just hot underneath.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll come with you. Yeah. Whatever.
No problem.
Okay, I like bad boys. Actually, can I have your jacket too? Thanks.
Yeah, right.
Which she does.
Not so bad.
Right. I mean, did you find that weird? I know we're going to get to that, but she had his jacket on.
I think Misha was just cold, so they figured it out. Without explanation.
They're like, we're going to give you Cam Gandhi's jacket.
Oh my gosh. So, okay. And then also, what is it that, did you learn how to drink from Ryan Atwood?
Did you learn how to drink?
Yeah. So,
you know how to drink?
I'm from Wisconsin. People in Wisconsin, they know how to drink, but I didn't get that genetic. So I don't drink often. So the first time I went to a bar, I didn't know what to order. I always went up to the counter and the bartender's looking at me and I'm looking at him and I'm like, do you have a menu or something? And obviously you're supposed to just go up, order. So I was just like, it's 7 and 7. And they, he's like, oh yeah, sure. No problem. And I was just thinking back to Ryan to ordering pilot. That because that's the only drink I knew.
That's what he orders in the pilot.
Yeah.
That is very God, funny.
The cousin from Boston.
Was it yeah, disgusting? See, I don't think I've ever had a 7-and-7.
What is
yeah,
seven
I don't think I
seven?
Enjoyed it that much.
It's like Seagram's it's like and 7 Up.
And 7
What is Seagram's?
I don't know.
Is that a whiskey?
Is that what it's called? Anybody? Katie?
I don't know.
Yes. Oh, I had that right. I am not a drinker at all. Hate alcohol. But I have
yeah,
a photograph.
I'm not a big drinker either. So yeah, going up and ordering. Yeah, I just relied on what I knew. And yeah, Ryan kind of let me down.
I have been a drinker and I've never drank that.
Well, also, Mindy doesn't, like, you ask her lyrics from, like, the most famous songs, and she'll be like, what?
No, no, I know tunes, not the lyrics.
Oh, right. Sorry. Anyway, we stand corrected.
Well, that's okay.
So, let's get into this episode.
Yeah, let's get into this episode.
Why don't you...
I'd love for you to just give us your opinions, because we're
your
stale
commentary.
Here.
Oh, wait. But one thing I want to say before we get into the episode.
Yeah.
You enlightened me, Dylan, that Ryan Gosling references the OC...
In La La Land.
In La La Land. Hello. Ryan Gosling said, the OC. He knows we exist. Just putting that out there.
There's quite a few shows out there when they say, they
I don't
mention
care.
The OC.
Ryan Gosling Ron- said
Oh, I see.
They That's do that a lot. Deal. Yeah. Anytime I hear that, I always notice it. I wanted to ask you guys about this because yeah. It was like a big thing for me. I don't know. As an OC fan, the SNL skit that parodied the end of season 2.
What do I
have
call
you guys
it?
Seen that?
Your
and
brother?
What was your reaction to it?
Your sister?
Your sister. Well, have you...
We
you
played
need,
it on the podcast.
Yeah, you need to... we discuss it at length with...
Logan Marshall
with
Green.
With Logan Marshall Green a few episodes back.
Picking me.
Okay.
And That's... we actually watch it. We watch the, mm-hmm. the Dear Sister.
Mindy doesn't get it.
I didn't get it.
She's like, I don't get it.
There was a whole YouTube video that was like breaking down how that was like the... dawn of a new generation of comedy. So, like, there was a lot that went into that.
Yeah, it was like...
I don't know. It's just so wild.
35 million views or something on
right.
that.
No, yeah. And there's a huge generation of kids who only know
the SNL.
The song with the skit with right. the gun and have never seen the OC. Yeah.
That's, like, the biggest accomplishment of the show. Yeah, that
right.
SNL skit. Yeah.
Well, very good, then. Let's... The synopsis of this episode, Rachel
yes,
and
yes,
Dylan,
please,
is the tensions between Ryan and Volchuk come to a head with Marissa trying to step in and help. Taylor's crush on Seth causes a rift in his relationship with Summer. Ah! Charlotte and Julie throw their faux benefit with Kirsten's help, who is completely clueless of the charity's true intentions. Meanwhile, Sandy officially takes over at the Newport Group, and the responsibilities of being a CEO takes a toll. Here on Welcome to the OC, bitches. Okay, I'm working
oh
on my
God,
thoughts.
I love that.
So, okay, let's just get into Ryan, Marissa, Johnny, Volchuk. And
let's.
We say Volchuk, not
Volchuk.
Volchek.
Everyone knows out there, Kevin Volchuk, who is Adam Brody's agent and our friend Nicole's husband, is why Volchuk is named Volchuk, just because of Kevin.
Yes.
He's a dear friend of ours.
Yes.
Little.
He has a perfect name. Like, it's such a good villain name, Volchek. It starts with a V. The V is such a villain
Volchuk.
Thing.
Yes, yeah. and Kevin is, if we can't get the real Volchuk, or if we can't get Cam on the
Bring
podcast.
Kev?
Yes, I think, will you ask him?
Yeah, sure, of course.
He should come on, because he was there. We've had
he
everything. We need agents now. We need the executives. Yeah. Anyway, so let's get into this. Let's start with the first episode. You guys, the foursome are just coming from the Japanese movie that
yes.
Seth picked.
Yes.
And it really didn't work for everyone but Seth, right?
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. And of course they say, but you know, the Bring It On.
That was really funny. And I do remember that. And I would still say that cheer to this day.
Do you? I feel like
I'm
that-
popular. I don't remember the word.
Oh,
really, but-
no.
I know. So close. But... I was quite fond of that moment when I watched it back.
Yeah. Just because we spend most of our time unconscious and quite possibly drooling doesn't mean that we can't do it in style. Drooling in style. Well, I've got something for you. Article has everything you need to turn your bedroom into your best room, all for a great price. Article offers cozy beds, swanky headboards, throw pillows, and tons of lighting options to help you set the tone. My husband doesn't know this, but I'm shopping for a new bed. I have
really?
My eye on the Asher bed. I just love this beautiful simplicity of the modern yet classic design.
Now, does he have a say in this decision?
Well, I don't know. I'm doing this ad right now, so we'll see.
Article is the easiest way to make your space look beautiful. They offer the curation of a boutique furniture store with the comfort and simplicity of shopping online. Their team of designers are dedicated to bringing a modern aesthetic of mid-century Scandinavian, industrial, and bohemian designs. They also offer fast, affordable shipping across the USA and Canada. All in-stock items are delivered in 2 weeks or less. Okay, I'm a huge online shopper, right? And I like things very quick. I am a big fan of that. So Article, having the cutest furniture and the best aesthetic, the style totally suits my home. It is the best combination ever. But I also get into a lot of trouble because I just keep buying furniture and now I have like 4 couches in my living room.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's a problem.
And they have speedy delivery. It was your point.
That was my point, right, was right. Within 2 weeks. Like, you know, when you're on those other things and they're like, oh, 6 months. And you're like, I won't even remember what I bought by
right.
then.
You can get it the same week sometimes. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/OC and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/OC for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Everly Well is digital healthcare designed for you, all at an affordable and transparent price. If you've been experiencing symptoms and don't know where to start, Everly Well is committed to listening and supporting your journey towards better health and wellness. The Everly Well Women's Health Test measures 11 biomarkers known to play a role in your overall health and wellness and checks for any abnormal levels that may be keeping you from feeling your best. I did that one. And my food sensitivity Ooh. Test is in the mail. Woo-hoo. And it was actually kind of fun to do it. I think we're all pretty good at home test taking nowadays, yeah. gathering our own info. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a whole process, but Adam and I did it together and we had to prick our finger and
oh, wow.
put a little lab thing and send it off. So now I'm going to know what gives me gas.
I can't wait to hear your results. You know, I'm a little apprehensive because I love food and I'm so scared that I'm going to learn that I'm allergic or have a sensitivity to everything. That's going to be traumatic for me. But what I love is this kit was so simple to test my daughter who was having some allergic reactions to certain foods and things. And this was very helpful. Everly Well has over 30 lab tests to choose from and so easy to use. Once you select your kit, Everly Well ships the at-home lab test to your home. You simply collect your sample and use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to a certified lab. And within days, you receive a physician review.
Everly Well also has high-quality vitamins and supplements to support your overall health. Choose from a variety of options, including vitamin D3 and omega-3 fish oil. And for listeners of the show, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/OC.
That's everlywell.com/OC for 20% off your next at-home lab test.
everlywell.com/OC. Okay, so as you guys were doing that, okay, you guys, I had to watch this a couple times. I rewound it. When Volchek comes in, and first of all, there's a close-up of Marissa. It's a choice with the editing, directing. And my first thought is she gets self-conscious, looks up and sees Volchek. But is it because he's interrupting? But or there's this little tingle going on inside of her.
Like inside her vagina?
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you're here to spell it out. Yeah, she got a tingle in the little UBT, the underball territory. Sorry.
I mean, it's Cam Gigande. How can you not?
I mean, right?
Well, because it was like, and then I was like, oh no, it's just because they're embarrassed. But then I went, no. She is attracted to bad boys.
I mean, how could you not be attracted to him? I'm sorry. I get it.
It's very subtle, but
I think the intention is like, oh no, here he is, Ryan, Volchek, awkward, but like underneath it all. And when I say underneath it all, we know what I'm talking about.
Right.
She's feeling it a little bit.
Did you think the same thing? There was a duality going on there.
Well, that's my own personal opinion. It's just like, oh my God, Cam Gigande. But yes, I don't know.
You had a tingle in your nether regions?
Yeah, it's perhaps. there. I always thought though that because the end of the episode, how it ends, obviously with Ryan and I keep calling him Cam, but it's Volchek. But
you can call him Cam.
When they come to a head, it seemed like that was supposed to be Cam's last scene on the show. I don't know if that's headcanon for me or if they brought him back later because he was so good in that role, but
yeah.
Do we not see him for a while after this one?
I think he disappears for a little bit.
Oh, okay. You know, there's a few things I'm not remembering. I'm not.
I always look to Mindy because, everyone knows. I don't know.
Okay. I do know things. So he probably does disappear for a few episodes. Don't quote me on that. But you're right. I think there's something that happens in these shows because we don't have Josh or Stephanie here to say, how far in advance did you know what the finale of season 3 was going to be or where these characters were going? Because a lot of times these characters are brought in for a small arc and these writers say, I like writing for this character. I'm inspired to do more and we can take it this way.
He's really good as this role.
He's really good.
Yes, he's really good in this role. And I know there's a lot of scenes with him in this, but like when he keys the car in the parking lot, the only thing I'm thinking is like, well, you can get him right there. Like he's literally standing there in front of like 25 people keying this Range Rover. And I'm thinking, and I know they bring it up later because Sandy's like, well, he could be arrested right there. And I'm like, okay, well, at least they have acknowledged because like...
Vandalism is a crime.
I mean, it's a crime.
In a private school parking lot, which they probably would never have gained access to anyway, even back then. But that being said, you're right.
I was like, okay.
Well. That I would lose my shit.
I mean...
I would absolutely... And I think it was cringy enough. I mean, the whole point of these shows is this accelerated magnified drama to the point where it's like you cut to Ryan's hand squeezing into a fist. And there's like, I mean, first of all, the sound of a key across a Range Rover and props to the prop or the transportation. You could see that they put this like,
oh, you could tell?
Well, it was some kind of fat material that was, as soon as you pulled it away, it made a big white mark, you know? And then they add probably but it was effective. It worked.
It definitely worked.
And he walks
away. Calling it the little bitch? Like, that's just like a, you got to drive around and little bitches on the side of your vehicle. I don't know. That's to blow your pride a little bit.
You know, I do have to say, Ryan put himself in this position too. He did walk up and cold clock the kid.
That's true.
You know?
That is true.
And then...
It wasn't even his fight, and he just did it.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it Johnny's?
Yeah, he walked up and punched. Yeah, because he kicked sand in the kid's face. He pushed Johnny down and then kicked sand in his
Johnny's
face.
Johnny's a little wimpy, I'm not going to
lie. That classic.
I don't know about that. At one point, he wants to, like, race off to go fight Volchek, and then Marissa has to talk him off the ledge.
Dude, wait, is that the scene at the school where she, like, runs after him? He's like, it's Volchek.
Yep.
The funniest part to me in that scene is she's walking with Chili, and Johnny runs off, and she's like, hold these. And she gives her books to Chili to run after Johnny. And I was like, that was really weighing you down. Happy you got rid of those. It's so weird.
Well, you never know what the director is saying on that day. He's like, just give, you know, or if it says it in the script or something.
She like throws the books all dramatically to run after him.
Well, and then of course, what does he say? He's like, look, fighting a guy is one thing, but upsetting a lady, I'm just a coward. What do you think?
I literally have some notes for this episode.
Okay,
and wrote that down.
Shout him out.
I wanted to fight him at that point. I wanted to fight Johnny for saying that.
You wanted
when it
to
comes
throw
to
the books
a lady,
at him.
I would have thrown the books. Yeah. Oh, when it comes to upsetting a lady, I'm a coward. I feel
honestly
so bad for the actor.
No,
because we're against him anyways.
It's the opposite tingling down there feeling for Volchek. It's like they go back up inside my body and disappear forever.
I do have to say though, as much as season three gets a bad rap from some people, I'm enjoying it.
Oh,
I actually am enjoying it.
I am too. I really like some of the, you know, the dynamics that have developed and, you know, like Seth and Summer, super comfortable.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
And well, we'll get into that storyline, but yeah.
I like to watch on the treadmill and I'm just doing a lot of these like laughing out loud or especially just, I mean, it's so fun. I just applaud and celebrate peers of mine who just do so well. And when we get to those scenes, there's quite a few in this episode. So
yeah, I don't know if we want to take it back because I wanted to talk about this as well. After the credits roll for the intro, the kitchen scene, all the kitchen scenes are just like some of the most wholesome, best parts of the show. And this is when people gather in the kitchen and it's all just wit and character. And I think what made the OC so good is just how well you guys bounced off each other with your unique characters. And it just all meshed so well. So just like, I know we got like the big plots of like scam charities and all that, but like the best parts I think of the OC were just like the quiet character moments where they're just having fun with each other, joking around, you know?
Aw.
Yes, no, we've said that many, many times, that the cast Christian had scenes. a certain chemistry, and that Josh definitely took personality traits of each actor and inserted them into the show, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and gave us permission to play.
Yes.
I think. And
yes.
Yeah, that was...
we had a lot of fun.
There's all, you can always see a lot of, and at the end of that scene, you know, because that was the scene where... It's Sandy's first day, which Ty and Kirsten's working on the charity. She needs help from the boys. And at first she's like, in booze or no booze? And they're like, that is kind of weird to be drinking when you're raising money for substance abuse, but we need money, so booze. And then, boys, I need help. And of course, Seth...
It's like, I'm busy Sunday. And do it.
Yeah, because it's the Sabbath and no...
I'm like, no, the Sabbath's Saturday.
Yeah.
Keep going.
But at the very end of that, when he's like, okay, Mom, I'll be there, you can see that Peter and Adam had a moment where Peter smacks him pretty hard. There's a lot of smacking of Seth in this episode.
Yeah.
But you could see that was an improv. And Adam's like, okay, yeah, I think I'll be able to things. But yeah, they and Peter's just laughing like Peter. I like to point those out.
Yes. Well done.
But back with Ryan, Marissa, Johnny, Volchok. So you know, all the kids, we talked about the Range Rover being called Little Bitch now. And when they're at the bait shop and the subways are playing. And it's not a pity invite for Johnny. Marissa's explaining. He's like, this, you know, because they've invited him. And
yeah,
he's like, you guys are just not subtle at all, trying to keep his mind off Casey, who's disappeared. She's there, but she's not in the episode anymore.
Right.
And just when they're about to leave, Volchek shows up and Heather's back.
Right.
And they keep doing that, like, just shoot me joke with the gun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she will.
But he kept saying, I'm going to find your Achilles heel or what gets you going. And sure enough, when he touches Marissa and Ryan goes
He knows he found it.
He goes Kitchino.
He will find it again.
What surprises me, though, most is that they kick Volchek out after Ryan. It seemed like Ryan was the aggressor.
Yeah.
And then the security comes and breaks him up and then kicks Volchek out instead of Ryan. And I wonder why that was.
Was it privilege?
I thought the same thing. I was wondering. I'm like, well, do they know Ryan there? Like, Seth worked there. Marissa dated the old boss. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think it's a combination of two things. I think, yes, he must have either witnessed the whole thing, knows Ryan, Marissa, that group.
Or
it's your, here's the wealthy kid, or and here's the not so wealthy kid. I don't know.
Maybe.
So it's kind of a weird flip because then Ryan would be seen as the wealthy kid. Mm-hmm. So just from the beginning of the show, he's almost ingrained in this community, which I guess would be like a good metaphor.
Yeah.
It would be a good metaphor.
Or this Volchok, because they keep talking about how crazy he is, that he's well known around town and he's a troublemaker.
He's known as the Volchok.
So all the things that happen. Whoa! What is a Volchok?
What is Cam's?
By the way,
we just made it a part Volchok.
I wonder what Volchek's obsession is with like having like this duel almost instead of just like go fight him. Like, why is he like, you have to meet me outside? It's like just start punching each other. It'll work itself out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I don't know why he's withholding. Like, we know why Ryan is, but why is Volchok?
He wants like the proper gentleman's duel or something. I don't know.
Right. It's like all of a sudden we're in Bridgerton and they're like,
Sir,
yes.
I will meet you.
You have disgraced my honor.
All three.
Wah! Wah!
Volchok. Vulture chicken strikes again.
So the next exact thing is that Ryan goes to Sandy and says, there's this guy and he's got it out for me. And he says, is that why my Range Rover is now called the Little Bitch?
Yeah, I'm driving around in the Little Bitch.
I mean, imagine there's not a parent on the planet who wouldn't
see
have,
that and be like, guys,
hello. Right. He's like, yeah, I was going to fix that. Uh-huh. With what money? That would be thousands of dollars. But then Sandy says this thing. He's like, you know, you can't fight. We can go to the cops. And then he's like, you know, whatever he's angry about is nothing to do with you, which is such a mature adult concept.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I know. So instead of engaging with him, Ryan is actually going, yeah, who knows what kind of life he has at home, if his dad abuses him, is a drunk, or who knows? We never actually really find out, I don't think. We don't get to know Volchok. he stays a villain by us not knowing what his child, what his home life
because,
is.
Because, like, the opposite with Taylor in this episode.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As remember, I kept indicating, I'm like, you're going to get to a few episodes back where she was just being awful. And I said,
she's still awful in this episode, but you're getting more layers and seeing
right.
why.
Well, it's easier when you know somebody's background, and if they're just an asshole or they act a certain way, and it's like, how do I not take this personally? She's coming after you, Summer, and it's like, how do you not take it personally? And then you realize she does have this really awful life. It kind of takes the pressure off of oneself of taking it personally. It's like, mm-hmm. wow, they really isn't about me. They just have really everything coming out of their mouth is about themselves, really.
When they say mental health is a journey, they mean it. That's why it's important to prioritize your mental health and wellness every day. When you work on yourself, it brings positive changes in all areas of your life. The long-term effects of therapy can give you the tools to deal with challenges as they arise, strengthen your relationships, and give you a more positive outlook on life. There's no better time to invest in yourself than right now. Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform that has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more. Your therapist can help you set and achieve your goals. I'm a huge advocate for therapy. It has helped me cope with my newfound anxiety and a little bit of depression that I never had until, gosh, I guess like the past few years. Therapy is a lifesaver. It's so helpful and it's such an amazing tool.
Absolutely. I mean, life is hard and it's always happening. But you know what? It can be joyful too. And one of the things that helped me get there was therapy. I mean, therapy's made me so much more like aware and gracious and empathetic and kinder and, you know what? A lot more patient. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists with years of experience in over 40 specialties, including depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, anger management, relationship issues, food and eating, and so much more. I also love that Talkspace is completely secure and private and using the latest technology to store client information. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code OC to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's OC and Talkspace.com.
Taylor's a weird character for me because as a fan, like as you're watching, you kind of take the opinion of the characters you love. So how does Summer, how does Ryan, how does Seth, how do they feel about Taylor? And they all kind of roll their eyes every time she's around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. And I guess especially knowing where it all ends up.
Spoiler.
Because she had like the affair with the dean and then eventually she's going to become like, the girlfriend of Ryan and all that stuff. Like, it's,
that's so
I don't know, it's just like a very
at this
messy
point
path.
To like think
yeah.
that.
It's wild to see these scenes now because they have such a great scene when she comes up. Oh, we're not there, quite there yet, but whatever. We can bounce around. When she comes up and says, so, how are Seth and Summer? You know, like Brad
to
and Angelina. Yeah. And he's like, what do you mean?
And she's referring to herself as Angelina.
And she's Angelina. And she's like, it's like a six. And he's like, a 10. Oh, bad for Angelina. But I bet Brad and Jen used to be a 10. The timing of it all is so wild because
Autumn is so awesome in this role. And like,
oh my gosh.
I am hating her the whole time I'm watching because I'm like, you fucking asshole. Like, you know, I always get a little personal with these things because I'm like, oh, you're going to come after Summer? And Seth?
Yep.
I don't think so. But she's doing such a good job and she's really good in this episode.
Yeah, she has my favorite line of the episode where she first approaches Seth and Ryan as they're walking into school. And she's trying to, I finally understand her character after watching it so many times. Like, she's trying to fit in. She's doing what she thinks she needs to fit in. So when she's telling the story about the lock-in and Seth talking about Captain Oates and it was mean for other kids to laugh at him. And then she says, something along the lines of, it wasn't nearly as embarrassing as that kid who befriended the deaf kid or whatever. Like, she's just mean and she's socially unaware. And it's just, I don't know, that dichotomy is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
She's got
completely unaware.
She's got some hysterical things. I mean, and, you know, I was thinking about it and I was like, wow, if there's one role that I would love to play, it would be that. But then I'm like, she's got such good timing, such good cadence and rhythm and... It's just hers. Like, nobody else should play it. And when she walks into, let's go to Taylor walking into Seth's room.
Oh my God.
And she walks in, he's like, oh, whoa, hey. And instantly goes, I like you. Now, who has the guts and the balls to say, I like you? And he's like, oh, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. And
I personally have a hard time with being that forthcoming with things, whether it's like, oh, I like you or I don't like you. You know what I mean? And they both are doing it very openly and transparently, and it's admirable.
Yeah. And then she says, I heard you guys were breaking up. He goes, oh, where did you hear that? She goes, I made it up.
Yeah.
That's where I screamed. Yep. I was like, it is so, so cute. And just the way she's cute. Like.
For a second, as I'm watching this, and as you know, I don't really know what happens. I'm like, do they date?
Right.
You know, I'm right. Like, do Seth and Taylor date? That's the question I'm going through. But she's so manipulative.
Yes. Well, and then
steal Captain Oates.
I mean,
yeah, she takes Captain Oates.
Get your hand off the captain, miss.
Oh, and then manipulative too, because then she waits till Summer's around to give it back to Seth and said, yeah. You lent this to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that boiled my blood. I was like, that's so manipulative.
That's right. You are
Summer. She knows what she's doing. And at the same time, it's like,
it's not okay. But
imagine if she really is this sad little lonely person that the only thing she has are her thoughts, perceptions, and reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when her reality is presented to the rest of the world, it's like, cuckoo. Everybody thinks like it's too much. They interject just enough things for Seth. You know, you like Yakuza. You like this Japanese filmmaker.
That was funny, though. He's like, comic books? She's like, no, no, no. That's whack material for dorks or whatever.
Wacky material for geeks. Yeah. I had to look it up. Taylor knows exactly what she's doing as we get past wacky material. And let's see what else. Oh, okay. So then let's cut to then when they're at the charity event. Yeah. And we see Veronica Townsend and mm-hmm. Paula Tricky playing even the worst version of Julie Cooper herself. Mm-hmm. And she totally embarrasses her.
Yeah.
And but then here's Seth. Obviously, he knows what an awful person she is, runs up, pretends hi. And then I actually almost called Autumn on the way here because this scene where she's so upset and she's saying, I have no one. Yeah. I live in this dream world where you like me and Summer's my friend. And he's like, you think Summer's your friend?
I know. His takeaway is like, you think Summer's your friend?
Like, that's the weirdest part of this whole thing. And then he just the goodness comes out of Seth, you know, that selflessness that he does inhabit comes out of him. And I wanted to ask her when she grabs his hand,
she did that
on her cheek and she's doing this with it. I wanted to know if that was her, if it was Adam, if it was in the script, or if a director did it. Yeah, we'll find out.
Or a director. Who directed this one?
I would love to know. You guys have to let me know too, because that was so funny.
It was so
Fresco,
funny.
Michael Fresco.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I'm like, well, next time I see her, talk to her, which we will, I have to know who did that because it's brilliant. It's just one of my favorite moments.
It's very funny.
Because then he walks away and he's like, I feel good about this. And she goes, mm-hmm. It's happening.
Uh-huh.
It's happening.
Mm-hmm. It's her almost famous moment. It's all happening.
Well, and I think it encompasses being friends with him and or does he like me?
No, she's taking it there. She's not like, oh, I have a friend.
Yeah.
she's
like, maybe I'm
just
whacking material
someone.
Now.
Wow, you're on one today, huh?
I am. Sorry.
The muncher and everything.
You're probably pretty G-rated. I tend to go the opposite direction.
No.
Sometimes.
I was going to make the munch joke. I didn't know if that was going to fly here, so I didn't say anything. So I'm all on board.
There's a lot of things they edit out.
Have you ever been munched by a wave?
No.
Rachel, do you go body surfing? Do you get hit by a wave?
I've never heard it called munched before. You?
Me neither.
It's a Katie?
I grew up in Wisconsin, no. So we don't have that surf culture. So I can't. I have to back away from this.
I don't know that you need to have surf culture to.
I think it was maybe just a 70s term.
But it is a term.
It's my term.
If someone said I got munched, I wouldn't think they're on the waves.
Yeah, you hear I got munched, you don't
I thought getting munched by the
a
waves.
Wave took me out.
Yeah, a wave took me out would probably be the best way. But
I can't even think of another term. I'm going to get so much shit from my husband. Who's a surfer. Like, what
does
is
he
it?
Say that?
I
think we need to call Adam is really what we need to do. Okay. So we can settle this.
What is it? It's a wipeout. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
A wipeout. But that feels like you're actually on a board. But if you just get munched by the wave.
It's just like a little munch. It's not a full.
Okay. We're on a tangent. Anyway, yeah, so Taylor's all excited. And in the meantime, Summer is still. I mean, how many times are you going to smack Seth in this episode?
He deserved it. I'm
how much
sorry.
Of that was actual contact? Because that was a lot.
Oh, I
don't know if they added.
I was afraid to hit him.
Yeah,
I actually thought
funny
it was funny
it was loud.
When I slap him, when I'm like, well, you know, it is my fault. And I slap him, I like run.
Like you're setting up for the charity event?
Yeah. Yeah. And I slap him and I run away. That's kind of funny. Anyways, yeah, not afraid to actually hit him.
Not afraid to actually hit him. Well,
yeah, so that whole storyline, it was really funny. And I really liked the Seth and Summer dynamic because we're obviously very comfortable at this point.
I think the whole, yes, I think that the Taylor character is, of course, she's designed for the audience to make you want to like just squeeze her and pop her head off. But it's just so, it's such original and it's just original and refreshing.
Yes.
To me.
Yes, I think it's I fun. Do want to kill her most of the time, but yes.
But let's make a point of the saying that Summer is so upset, like with Seth saying she was in your room and you didn't say anything, and you're not. I don't just because I'm not talking to you doesn't mean you can go out of my sight. But then when he explains she's having an emotional breakdown, and you know she says. She's about to have a physical one. And then he knows that Summer does like, it's so, she makes it really hard to like her. She has no one. And of course, Summer is that person
nice
like,
softened.
Okay. Too. And that's exactly what I was talking about. Like if you can try and put yourself and she's got a really bad home life kind of thing.
Yeah. I soften. And the funniest part is like how much Seth just wants to go back and watch that movie. And I'm like, how bad do you just want to go watch it right now?
Yeah.
Come on.
I love that moment because it just showed how well you two knew each other or the characters knew each other. Because it's just like, he's not even looking at the DVD or anything. You just say it and he's like, yeah,
I'm
going to
go. It's like a real relationship.
Right.
What do you know?
And isn't it nice when your partner just knows exactly?
Yes.
I get that all the time. If I can attempt or...
You finish each other's sandwiches?
Sandwiches. Sentences. Sandwiches. And
not,
I predict...
Anyone reference? No? No?
Oh. Yeah, I got it.
Oh,
got
wait. Which one's that?
Well, it's from Frozen when they sing. We finish each other. Why can't I say what I'm saying? Finish, like finish and sandwich. We finish each other's sandwiches.
Oh, I was going to say, is that you guys sing, you and Leah singing? Oh, that was Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no, that was Beauty and the Beast. But we do sing that too.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, my best friend and I go off on Disney tangents where we sing all the musicals very loudly.
It's on your
together.
Instagram. Really
it is
cute.
On my Instagram.
It's really cute. So,
yes, okay.
I lose my train of thought. But anyway.
So that's that. That's yes. Seth, Summer, and Taylor.
Yes. That was, all I write is more good Summer dialogue because you have a lot of fun dialogue that they write for you.
Thank you.
In this episode specifically.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the charity event before we get to the end. But
okay. You look so beautiful at the charity event with that green dress and your eyes.
Oh my gosh. Thank
very
you.
Very pretty.
I remember, first of all, everyone looked beautiful. Misha
yeah,
had
Misha,
that beautiful. Dress and with the gold in the back.
Yeah.
And then that hairstyle was so.
Yeah, she looked beautiful.
Oh, I don't even know how you describe it. The braid.
They covered
around.
It up with Volchak's jacket.
Right. And then Kirsten. So they always put me in kind of like the cool, bright colors. And Kirsten always had the pearl colors, the corals.
She looked beautiful too.
Yeah. And you had a purple.
I don't know what I was wearing.
They did a really lovely job with the costumes. I have to say, that green dress, and it's such a shame because the camera basically cuts us off and you get maybe waist up. Mm-hmm. It was one of the most beautiful things I wore in the entire show. And
it was
so pretty. I love the hair and we did the makeup. And it was actually, if you saw the makeup in sunlight, it was quite a bit. Mm. But in the dark, it just kind of worked.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So clearly, we don't need to go over the whole thing. But, you know, as they're prepping for all of this, Julie's having, you can see that she's just going, okay, I'm doing this. Yes, I'm doing it for $300,000. And she just is having she's having a lot of second thoughts.
Right. Cause then when Kirsten comes to Julie and is like, you know,
yeah,
has
the
that
dad
moment,
would be proud.
That's really what turns you.
Yeah.
Kirsten, a couple times during the episode, Julie's waffling the whole time. And I just, for some reason, I feel like Kirsten knew a little bit just because she constantly goes to Julie and being like, I'm so happy you're with me doing this. You're such a good friend.
Our dad
would be proud. Like, she keeps mentioning.
I know.
She keeps mentioning that. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, and then we also find out that not only Charlotte, not only is she doing this, she's not going to even put Julie in with any of the money. She's taking it all and going to Puerto Rico. I didn't know that Puerto Rico was a safe haven. Did you?
Oh, I didn't know that. But I kind of felt like Julie, as manipulative as Julie is, she should know that the criminal is going to screw her over in the end. I would assume that that would be on her mind at least.
Yeah. And then when Charlotte says, "You're not dressed," and she sits down and she goes, "I'll call the cops. Get dressed." And I was like, Julie, you know, like the audience is sitting there thinking, wow, Julie's intimidated by this person. Mm-hmm. But no, what does she do? She goes, ding.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Anyway, you somewhat overwhelmed our small charity. So when you write your checks out, let's make it out to the National Foundation for Substance Abuse, not our little charity. And she's like, so she calls her bluff. She says, call the cops, call them.
I was very proud of you in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
I think that was one of my favorite lines to say. This town's only really big enough for one manipulative bitch. Take care, sweetie. It gives her a kiss. There you go.
Julie at her finest.
That was good. Yes. That was good. And that was, you know, so we don't see Charlotte anymore. She's gone. Bye.
She's gone after that.
Although, so, you know, I think Julie probably thought through this. And she says, because Charlotte said, you don't have anybody. And she goes, like, wrong. I have Kirsten.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you think about all of the things, I also want to make a point of saying that with all that Kirsten's gone through, it has been sad, sad, negative, negative. And it's subtle and it's not the focal, I think, that most of the audience is noticing in this episode. But you see a woman in recovery who's doing well, is smiling and has this glow back and doing really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is when a friend sees somebody doing that well, when they compare it to how she was, mm-hmm. it's like night and day. Mm-hmm. It's so night and day. And I think without saying it, that those are the things that, you know, even though Julie doesn't always express it, she's thinking about those things. And in that respect, I think, you know, Kirsten's very much on this beautiful pink cloud of, and she needs to really enjoy those moments. So I think Kelly did a wonderful
job. But I also think it was great when she said to Sandy, like, you don't need to protect me, because she knows something's going on with Sandy. So she's not fragile, I think she says. And I love that too, where it's just like I'm good, like I'm strong. Like you can lean on me a little bit. I love that between them two as well.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the best Sandy Kirsten scenes because Sandy, I guess he's been at the Newport Group, but I guess it's his official first day as the CEO and they're restructuring and find out that they have to
fire
all these people that we've never seen before, but that's okay. But then he's like, no, I'll take a 30% cut and I'm going to fire him my way. But I thought, but you could tell that he wanted to talk to her. And that's when she said, I'm taking a Kirsten day. So he sees it too. He's mm-hmm. like, I can't give this to my wife. I'm sure people are on eggshells around her. I can't give all this to this stressful stuff to my wife because she's in this beautiful place. I don't want to bring anything stressful to her. And then, like you said, Dylan, that last scene where he says, oh, well, you are your father's daughter. And she said, I'm your wife.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's a really underrated line as well.
How great is Sandy? We know you love Sandy. He's like the core of this show, right?
Yeah. So I did a commentary for the After movie, which is a fanfic movie. And he was in that as well. And I just geeked out as soon as I saw him. I didn't know he was in it. I love Peter Gallagher. So yeah, that was awesome.
We love him too.
Yeah, Peter.
Well, then let's jump back to the old...
How it ends with Volchuk.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, we forgot to say that Marissa and Chili find him at the beach. And she shows up with her...
Just tries to bribe him.
With her Cartier watch.
That she got for her 16th birthday.
He's like, I have Kmart special. Which is out of business now. There's no
Kmart is?
There's nowhere Kmart's. Are
there's
there?
Not?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I feel like there are. Maybe in the Midwest.
I know the one in LA close.
Mixing that up with Kohl's. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. Both
Kohl's. Yeah, we have Kohl's. I thought Kmart's gone.
Kmart's still there? Kmart still exists.
I'm not sure.
Oh, good.
Katie just told us.
Good, good, good.
Nice. So anyways.
Well, I sell cheap watches, so that's perfect.
There we go. And I got to hand it to Marissa. Misha plays... cold, tough chick, too. It's like, it's interesting. They're dynamic. I mean, this is where I speculate that the writers...
She's not scared of them because they're attracted to each other?
Well, I think the writers are like... because they're always... you're always looking to put people together, break people up. You know, when they said, we never put... They talk about it like, would Marissa and Seth get... No, they never did that. They never did the Summer Ryan thing.
Yeah, I'm aware.
But... I know. You're so resentful.
So mad.
But I think...
Shouldn't have played
them
so hot
those,
and cold. That's the problem.
That's right.
They see those two on camera. I bet the writers are like, oh yeah, we're mm-hmm. doing that.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that like the plot with Marissa though? Like everyone fell in love with her? Really? Like literally every season there's Oliver, Volchek, Olivia Wilde's character. Like literally everyone that meets her just falls in love with her. Yeah. It's just a matter of if she reciprocates those feelings, I guess.
Didn't Josh, I mean, Josh said like she is the most beautiful girl mm-hmm. and everybody falls in love with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way that Marissa was described.
Yes.
That's her cross to bear, we're finding. Because
yeah, because she's always like, oh no, he just wants to, you know, be my friend and come over and study. And he brought me this really yeah. beautiful necklace.
Oh, we did talk about, yeah, we didn't talk about that scene with you two where it's like, she's like, it's, do I say something? Or it makes it awkward to Johnny. Like,
oh yeah, that she knows that he's in love with her.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is awkward. What do you say to somebody? You know.
You don't.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You ignore that.
But anyway, Heather shows up and gives the watch back at mm-hmm. the party mm-hmm. and drags her out. And he says, I need the money now. And somehow convinces her to get in the van.
It's so shady.
But she's,
I'll go to the ATM.
Do you think?
I kind of bought it though. Like he's so good. He's just like, I owe someone some money. I'd only need a couple hundred. So you're coming with me.
Listen, like, oh, don't get me right wrong. Now. I would go with him.
Well, that's just because he looks so good.
I try to play devil's advocate in my own head, but I did buy it as well. But mm-hmm. because I didn't remember what was happening.
Yeah, I bought it too.
So now that I've seen it, I'm like, oh man, you shouldn't have done that. But
it was still stupid.
It definitely, because she really is doing her best to make sure that Ryan never fights this guy and gets kicked out of Harbor. Everybody knows what the stakes are.
Right.
So,
Ryan and Marissa are cute. Like, and at the end of the episode, you really see them kind of like as a couple, you know, there's like those moments.
Oh yeah. And we forgot that he put up the punching bag and she's like, what? She doesn't quite get it. But I'm like, wait a second. Summer was there first. She was punching.
Yeah.
She gets it out first.
That's right.
Yeah. You got it. Mm-hmm. But I think what's interesting is Ryan is doing so much to squish it down to mm-hmm. just like... That punching
bag. You see
it,
yeah, at the end where he just, yeah.
So, yes.
Well, if we're talking about Ryan suppressing feelings, even at the end when everything's resolved and they're sitting in front of the fire, like she's kind of like doing this banter thing and he's just kind of like, like he's just suppressing all his feelings. So it's cool to see when he lets it out on the punching bag and you got the bloody knuckles and everything. I love that. But yeah, he's just like, he needs therapy.
Well,
he needs therapy.
Well, of course, we skipped over him getting the phone call. So he's talking to Johnny and he says, where's Marissa? And then the phone call from Marissa's phone. And he says, I've got your girl. Meet me under the pier. And he takes off with Johnny and he's like, I got a plan. But if it doesn't work out, take Marissa and run. And so so we see him run up full speed. Instantly, Cam is on the defense, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And luckily enough, there's a bottle there. He breaks it off. So I'm imagining in the script, it says, Ryan starts acting so wild that the crazy Volchek is now on the defensive and scared. And there's truth in that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a situation where you've had to act crazy to scare somebody?
In my dreams, nightmares.
I was walking down Sunset Boulevard with Ernie once back in the 90s. And we were walking back from Cat and the Fiddle. And it was like 2 a.m, Sunset La Brea, and a couple, I don't know, guys on the corner doing up to no good. We've been arguing. Drunk arguing. And we were walking like 20 feet from each other. And sure enough, as I walked up, some guys were like, hey, man, to me. And I'd heard, if you act crazy, oh my God, man, don't you fuck this up. Like scream. And this guy was like, whoa, man, what's up with her? Like they think you're weird. So if you act.
Like we're not touching that
crazy. We're not touching the crazy. So it reminded me of this. And so when he says, he literally, this, you know,
I'm going to use that. Like if a boyfriend comes up and I just don't feel like it, I'm like,
No, if you ever find yourself on the street in a situation, if you start like convulsing or shaking or doing something that's really crazy, chances are people will walk away from you that are up to
just smash a bottle. Just smash a bottle down into a fight.
To be a convenient bottle laying there.
Yeah.
What would you rather have? This is just guy brain thinking. I'm like, what would I rather have in a fight? Would I rather have the broken bottle or the wooden board? I thought about that. I've thought about that for years.
And what do you come up with?
I've always thought the board because you got the distance, you know, you can attack from further.
But I think
then the bottle does so much damage.
If you can get contact,
I think the idea is that he's supposed to see the wild animal that is Kid Chino for the first time. Because I think he mistakes Ryan for
another
like Luke or
wealthy,
something.
Yeah. You know, and, private school kid.
Yeah. And,
Ryan
goes,
he doesn't know. He's like,
and he says, you want to do it? You have to kill me. And he takes it seriously. I thought Ben could have gotten bigger or scarier, in my opinion.
I agree. I actually agree. Because if I was Cam and this is like this rich kid, he's got too much to lose. He's not going to fight to the death. Come on. So I think if it was more violent, more aggressive, I would have bought it a little bit more. And because Cam has been raring for this fight. Like, he's kidnapping people to try to get this fight. He's going to back down because there's a bottle involved.
Right. Literally kidnapping people.
But anyway.
But offering her his jacket.
Right. But then do see the rage and the anger with the bloody fists. And it's also plants the seed for what's to come. So... That is the episode.
That is the episode.
That was great.
It was a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm liking these episodes because I don't remember season 3 as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. We have some trivia for you.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. I have a horrible memory, but I'll do my best.
Okay. That's all we can ask.
How many times have you watched it?
Your DVD? Probably 3 times full through.
Okay. Wow. In first question, in season 1, when Marissa asks Ryan who he is in the very first episode, what does he say?
Whoever you want me to be.
it was multiple choice, but you got it. Ding, ding, ding.
I didn't
ding.
Even need the multiple choice.
Multiple choice is for.
Okay, we won't even give it to you.
Or whatever you call them.
In season 1, where does Ryan get a job?
At the lobster shack or lobster whatever. Lobster something.
Close. Another crustacean.
It's another crustacean.
Oh, that's the name of the place?
No.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, another crustacean is then. Let's go there for dinner. No.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Multiple choice. Give me multiple choice.
Well, you're going to get it. The Balboa Lighthouse, Newport Group. He doesn't have one. Or the Crab Shack.
Crab Shack.
There you go.
Ding, 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 ding.
Damn. Okay.
Okay, here's a true or false one. The Coens' favorite takeout food is pizza.
False.
Huh. What is their favorite? Is it
Chinese?
Thai food.
Oh. Thai food.
Thai food. Summer's favorite show is... This is a true or false. Summer's favorite show is The Valley.
True. I don't know if it's her favorite show. I know she loves the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the only show she ever talks about, so we'll just say.
Right. You're right.
Some of my favorite episodes, one of my favorite episodes is because it's so self-referential too, that season 1 episode.
Okay, and then here's our bonus question. What reality series is The Valley based on?
The Hills.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. It says Laguna Beach and The Hills.
Well, because it started as Laguna Beach and then they moved to LA and it became The Hills.
Oh. Right.
So... Didn't it? Yeah.
The rest is still unwritten.
Yeah. Dylan, how charming and fun are you? And congratulations on your followers and your channel. And
are you going to do another episode and comment on it?
Well, I really wish I would have saved it because I'm doing a series now where I watch the pilot and the last episode, the series finale of a show. Uh-huh. That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But now since I've done the pilot, I don't know if I could do that for the OC.
You can.
Well, you've done the pilot. You can do the end.
You make your own rules, my man.
I feel like I was thinking about doing Heart of Dixie, but now that we talked, like I can't say anything bad about the show. So now I don't know if I can joke
talk
around
shit.
Or not.
I don't care. No, just don't talk shit about me, and we're good.
All right.
I think part of the fun is that people love is to make fun of the shows.
Yeah,
we do that.
Yeah, most of the time, it's all in just good fun, joking around. I think that's what people like about my channel. Mm-hmm. It's just not overly serious or critical.
It's very funny.
Like you're hanging out. Yeah, thank you.
Well, some pretty heightened...
She has some series you could do. I have some movies. I mean, listen, the options are endless.
Hit me up. Let me know which you want me to cover.
Like, just go down our filmographies on IMDb.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I have a resume on IMDb, and it's not very long.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure.
It's been so fun, and I think you're so funny, and I really do enjoy watching your commentary, and so I'm so happy to have been introduced to your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and I'm so glad you guys started the podcast. It's fun to re-listen to old episodes and to have the insider track and hear what it was like from your side is just amazing.
Thanks. Oh,
thank you so much. And thank you all so much for listening. Please follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC Bitches, wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you like to watch us, check us out on YouTube. Okay. Bye, bitches.
Bye.